the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Thursday at 4 o'clock, our friend Mike Lombardi joins us, GM Shuffle Podcast, the Daily Coach, VSiN Morning Show. How are we feeling, Mike?
We're good. How you doing, Skip? Ike, good to hear from you. Everything good?
Did you just call me Skip?
Ooh, boy.
I said Spike. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Do you want to know a funny thing? Angelo called me Skip for like a year and a half when I worked here. Even after I told him it was Spike, he kept calling me Skip.
No. Well, you know what? We tend to have a little bit of those old lapses. You know how that goes.
Yeah, I'm getting there. After 40, every year, I forget more and more stuff. So we've been talking this week, actually in large part because of a couple of quotes that Nick Sirianni said about sort of his role in calling plays. And it was, I think a lot of people in the offseason had the impression that during the game, it would sort of be Kellen Moore's ship to steer, and that Nick would not be involved very much at all. How realistic is that? Like, how much input in general would you just expect Sirianni to have, and how much conversation would he and Kellen Moore have about what plays to call and when to call them?
Well, I think, first of all, he's managing the game, so he's got to stay ahead of the game. And so, like, when they get into a situation, say it's 3rd and 8, and they're on the fringe of whether they're going to go for it or not, which we know he's always going to go for it, so it really doesn't matter. He's got to tell Kellen on the 3rd down call, look, I'm going for it on 4th down, whether you get a yard or not.
Right.
Or I'm not, and so he's got to tell him that. The other thing he's got to do is looking at the clock, and say, look, stick a run in here. I want to run the ball. I want to work the clock here a little bit to make some time. Kind of manage the game through the play calling. And I think he's not saying let's run X play or let's run this play. And he may say that based on practice. Look, we ran this play. We're getting that. Look, don't forget to call this. But I think it's more about just kind of helping the play caller along with the game management and trying to tie the calls to the clock to allow you to then best utilize the clock to your favor. I think that's most important. When he called the pass to Barkley, that had to be a call that the head coach had to approve, because if it's incomplete, he's the one who looks bad, not Kellen Moore.
Okay, so then I guess beyond that, would you expect, if he was involved beyond that, I guess sort of more integrated into the down-to-down call, that wouldn't be something you would expect or something that Kellen Moore should be dealing with?
No, he's not managed. Since Nick doesn't run the team, doesn't call plays, Nick's managing the game.
Okay.
And that's what makes him some of his decisions so strange. He's in a field goal game, and he's turning down field goals, right?
Right.
Like, to me, he's watching his defense 2 weeks ago against Atlanta, and he's still going for it. See, part of it is this applied analytics that has to be what is going on with the game. And the only way you can do that is to judge from the head coaching chair. His job is, now that he doesn't call plays, is to evaluate the first quarter to see if what he thinks was going to happen in the game actually does happen. And then the second and the third quarter, he's got to be able to see what adjustments his team needs to make to be able to execute. And then the fourth quarter becomes a standalone game where he's telling the coaches, Vic and Kellen Moore and the special teams guys, hey, here's what we need to do at this part of the game. If that's your role, and that's you, if you're the head coach and you're not calling plays, then we can get a robot to stand on the sideline and say go for it on 4th down. So he's got to have some more involvement than just that.
Okay.
One more thing, just based on another answer he gave. Typically, how many people during the week would be involved in offensive game planning?
Well, I think everybody, it's broken down. So you have certain coaches that may do the short yardage and goal line. Probably the line coach does short yardage and goal line. He coordinates the whole run game. And then I'm sure the receiver coach and the quarterback coach, they probably all get together and have an influence on 3rd down. High red, low red. And then I think 1st and 10, somebody has a role. So they split everything up into duties, and then they all come together based on the day of what they're planning to put together their ideas. And Moore has the final say. I like that. I don't like this. I think we should do this. And naturally, Sirianni's got to sign off on it, too, if he's the head coach. Hey, look, I really think we need to do this against this team. I really think we need to do that against this team. But I'm giving you this information from Belichickian program That's what I know from the Bill Walsh program, from what I know. I don't know what goes on in Philly, but I know from working for two of those head coaches, that's what they would do. George Seifert ran the defense, but he would run by Bill and say, this is what we're going to plan, this is what we're doing, and Bill would tell him, here's what we're doing. Josh McDaniels called all the offensive plays, but Belichick may say to Josh during a headset series, hey, Josh, stick a run in here. Now, he didn't say run 36 lead. He didn't say run power. He said, just stick a run in here. Now, when they're on the break in between the series, he may say, hey, Josh, I think we really need to run some more gap scheme. I think we need to do this. We can't block the three technique, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So in a nutshell, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, it seems like this, like you don't see a problem with the setup that the Eagles have just on the surface, like without knowing the details of the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah. I think it's the best setup because I think it finally takes the guy away from looking at his play sheet and seeing the game and evaluating and watching the game, which is so damn important, you know. But what I have a problem with is he goes for it on all the fourth downs. There's no applied analytics. It's just we're going for it. Whereas part of his job is to figure out, you know, part of the other job of the head coach is to figure out who's in control of the game and who's in the lead. And sometimes those two things don't go together.
Yeah.
Like even though New Orleans might have been in the lead in that game, they never were in control of that game, right?
And I agree.
You always have to judge that. That's really important, who's in control and who's in the lead. And I think that's the job of the head coach because Vic Fangio is calling defenses. That's what he's doing. And then somebody's got to marry the defensive calls to the offensive calls because, you know, if you're playing less defense and you're not out there and you're having a tough time slowing them down, you know, maybe you might want to run. Like the Bengals, they're 31st in the league in rushing attempts. They don't help their defense at all. They just call passes. And so their defense plays way too much.
I think one of the actually the most confusing things for us is from a number standpoint, his choice to go for it on fourth down when they ran the fake tush push, that was actually one where the analytic, you know, numbers said don't go, said kick it. Which
that was right before the half.
I think one of the things we've been wondering is with him, and I, you know, there's no way to know, is like, is he trying? He doesn't get any credit when they win, truthfully, locally. And when they lose, he gets a lot of blame. And one of the things we sort of wonder is he trying too hard to put sort of an imprint that people know when he's doing something so the conversation around it changes?
I don't get that sense from him. I don't see him trying to be overly egocentric, you know, to try to make people see that he's really involved. I think what Kelsey said today on your station about his preparation for the meeting, I thought was really a glowing endorsement because that's part of his job, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he needs to do that. That's something that's important. And if Kelsey says it's the best presentation he's ever heard, that's great. Now, you know, I don't know who else he's heard, but I've seen Belichick in front of the team on Wednesday and Thursday, and it's as good as it gets. And same thing with Coach Walsh. And I used to tape Coach Walsh's on Wednesday and Thursday in the morning when he went down there back in the early 80s. So, you know, I think that's really important. But I agree with you. I think, to me, he always gets way too much blame. And I don't know what the analytical people are telling him either. You know, sometimes he's getting data from somebody in there. And, again, I think it's important. But all the data you get to go for it or not go for it is all predicated on 10,000 games that is put in the computer. And if you really study the history of AI versus humans in chess, you know, you see that it took a long time for Big Blue to eventually beat a human in chess because there was no feel for the game. It was just a lot of numbers based on different variables, different situations where the human has an instinct on how to play the game specifically. And I think that's part of what the analytics misses.
Mike, why do you think this team is struggling down in the red zone? Other than Jalen turning the ball over, I'm just wondering from a play-calling standpoint down there and what they want to do, we just aren't as efficient as we should be in the red zone.
I think the whole NFL has problems with the red zone, Ike. I think the problem is there's not enough two-back runs. You know, you got to run the ball down there to get it in. The people that play coverage, there's a lot, you know, it's harder. Teams don't really try to be physical. There's not enough physicality to get the ball in the end zone. It's hard to throw it in there. Mm-hmm. You know, Andy makes a living in Kansas City running a lot of misdirection. We're going to fake you going this way to separate the defense to bring you back the other way. It's a lot of tricks, you know, because that's kind of how he's been very effective in the red area. You have to displace the defense. But you also have to line up and say, okay, here we come. I mean, it's which Jacksonville's biggest problem. They have no physical toughness as a team. So when they get the red zone, they can't really power you down there. And so Peterson has to call these pass plays. The quarterback can't execute them. And then they don't score touchdowns.
Mm. Talking to Mike Lombardi. Mike, the Bryce Huff numbers went from, you know, rather, our reaction to Bryce Huff went from the numbers aren't there to all of a sudden everyone who watches the tape is like, this guy is getting blocked one-on-one by tight ends. At what point does the team, does a team look at a player they had high expectations for and say, you know what, this guy just isn't who we thought he was. It's not going to work.
Yeah, you know, that's the hard one because there's enough evidence on tape that the guy's a good player. You know, now, look, I think what Vic did last week was really good. I mean, Vic wasn't going to play with Smith and Huff on the edges and let the Saints run their outside zone play. So he played a variation of a five-man line. He played a lot of 6-1, which is what Belichick ran in the Super Bowl, which stymied Sean McVay and the Ram offense. So I think situationally it's going to depend. But here's the thing, too. When you watch tape, right, who are you getting sacks against, right? The Giants made this huge trade for Brian Burns, and I said it on my podcast. Like, if I would have come to Al Davis and said, hey, I want to sign Brian Burns, he would have said, well, how many sacks did he have against the teams in the AFC West? And that's really what the competition is, and I think that's something that you have to look at with Huff. I mean, what level of comp is sacks again? And then, you know, too, I think the way Jalen Carter played inside this week, which is what we expect him to play, mm-hmm. along with Jordan Davis, I think that should help Huff. But if he's, you know, he's getting blocked by tight ends, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
His team is shorthanded, Mike, this week. Don't know if AJ or Devontae is going to play Lane. I don't know if he did some limited things today at practice or not, but not sure if he's going to go. What do you think their chances are Sunday down in Tampa?
Well, look, Todd Bowles is a really good coach defensively, you know, and so if Smith and Brown don't go, who's getting the ball? Dallas Goedert, right? So we got to double Goedert and take him out of the game. If Lane can't go and Becton can't go on the right side of the line against a really good front of Tampa. Now, Vita Vey plays, and he practiced yesterday. That's going to help their run defense tremendously because he's almost unblockable when he's going full force. It's going to be a hard, scrappy game. Look, they didn't play well at all last week against the Broncos, and they were flat. They didn't come out. And I think you're going to get the best effort out of Tampa this week. And they've got big play receivers that can attack the corners. If Eagles' front doesn't show up, they will attack the defensive line. I mean, they will attack the secondary of the Eagles. There's no question. These receivers are legitimate. We know Mike Evans is really good. Godwin's really good. And Baker can make the throws, which caused a lot of problems for teams playing Tampa is Baker's movement. He's run not to be, you know, like a run like Jalen Hurts runs, but run to make movement, to make plays and throw it down the field.
All right, Mike. Well, this is going to be a tough game on Sunday. I think we're all taking two and two at the bye is okay, but this is a tough one on Sunday. I appreciate your time, man.
They're all tough.
Yeah.
They're all tough, Spike. I mean, the thing is I think Philly fans expect everything to be easy. Like, we're just going to walk to the Super Bowl. And, you know, iron builds iron. You got to have these hard moments. You got to go through the season. If you're 2-2, the thing with Nick not calling plays, you know, now you find where your team is. Now you make adjustments in which you have to do. And so that's really what allows you to get better and where it counts the most. I mean, last year there was a false narrative about the team. You know, they were playing, but they weren't playing well, but they were winning. And then all of a sudden the bottom fell out. I think it's more important to really understand your team correctly. And the only way you do that is humble yourself when you lose.
All right, Mike. Well, we appreciate your time, man.
Thank you, brother.
Anytime. I can't believe we did not talk about Embiid's extension. I cannot believe this.
Spike's ducking you with this, yeah.
I'm ducking you with the Sixers stuff.
I would love to know how this works. I want to know how it works. I want to know what crystal ball Josh Harris and the Sixers front office looked into.
Dude, they have no choice. They have to give him the extension.
And know that he's going to be healthy. I can't wait to see. I want that crystal ball. I mean,
they have no choice, Mike. They have to give him the contract.
If you have no choice to give out $180 million, what world do we live in? Seriously, what world do we live in?
I wish I was 7 feet tall, 275 pounds. Maybe I'd be big at two.
I want to know what when they ran the numbers on the predictability of health for him to the length of that contract, I would love to know what that number came back.
You know, I'm beginning to think, okay, let me ask you this. in your heart of hearts, if we put you onto a lie detector test and I asked you, would you be happy if Joel Embiid next year played 70 games, won the MVP, and took the Sixers to the finals, thereby proving you wrong, what would you prefer? That you're right about Joel Embiid or the Sixers win a championship?
I want them to win a championship, but here's the fact, and I'm telling you, I'm not wrong. So that's just the fact. I'm not wrong.
But you've been wrong before. Jason Kelce said so.
Yeah, well, 2 years later.
I don't care.
2 years later, they fired him.
That's actually not a bad point. That's not a bad point.
So somebody else agreed with me. It just took 2 years.
Yeah. Ooh, boy.
Well, once the Sixers start, we will block off like 5 minutes of each of these calls for us Sixers.
Whether you block it off or not, the subject's coming up.
I know.
When he gets hurt, you're going to hear me scream.
I'm well aware. Well aware. All right.
I will have something on my face for sure.
There it is. Right. Lombardi.
Wow.
Yeah. He backed me into a corner.
He did.
Yeah.
He cooked. So.
Yeah. Do it, Jack.
Phishing, malware, ransomware, social engineering are words every employee should be familiar with in today's world of increasing cyber threats. Human error is the number one cause of data breaches, so Telesystem is making it their mission to educate businesses on current threats and how to prepare for and prevent cyber attacks. Security awareness training is the first line of defense to educate employees and defend against attacks on your business. Visit hackersuck.com to get your free 30-day, no-obligation trial by using code Philly2024. Again, that's hackersuck.com.
He's gonna call me Skip. Then he's gonna push me. He's gonna push me. I had to bring up. I haven't brought up the Kelce thing at all.
I don't know if it was warranted there, but
it was warranted.
I don't know if he handled it well, though.
Yes.
He handled it well.
Well, look, I know he called me Skip. I've known Mike for a long time.
Yes.
So I think Mike can handle it for me. The good thing about guys like Mike is that does Mike come in and bring fire and we'll go back and forth? Yes, but he can handle it. He'll be back. He has, I think, as well as any executive who went into media, has fully become the way that you become a full media guy from being a player.
Yeah.
I think Lombardi has done that from being a GM. I think once those guys decide, I'm not going to do that anymore.
They can fully commit.
And I think a lot of those guys never get it out of their brain that I could work in a front office again. It doesn't sound like Mike's got a great media career. I don't think he ever wants to do that.
Well, it's like Rex Ryan. It's why he's so good.
Yes.
He stopped worrying about being a coach again.
Yes.
Yeah. He just says whatever comes to his mind on ESPN.
Yeah. He's not worried about offending anyone or getting hired by this guy or getting hired by that guy. 215-592-9494. Is this Phillies postseason World Series or bust? Steve in Trenton, you're on WIP.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
What's up, Steve?
What up, Steve?
Spike, I had to call in today, man, because it's absolutely World Series or bust. Are you kidding me? I mean, what is your goal for this team? Do you want them to just win the pennant? Do you want them to just make a deep run? I'm asking you, like, what's your goal for them?
Well, there's difference between what their goal is and what reality is. And if you had asked me, if you asked me today, is it a failure if the Phillies like do not beat the San Diego Padres in a 7-game series? I don't know that it is. Is it a failure overall that they didn't win the World Series when that's the goal? Sure, but I can't get there and say, you know what, this is the one. They're definitely going to get this one, and if they don't get this one, this is a failure on all levels. They're not better than any of these teams. They are right there. They can win the World Series, but I don't think they have a better chance than anybody else in the National League to win the World Series.
See, the World Series or bust to me means you're trying to win the World Series if the season wasn't successful. And they're a top three team right now. I mean, if you ask me, I give them better chances than the Dodgers. I think the Yankees are really, you know, they got a lot going for them this year. But I don't know. These guys are getting old. It's not going to get better in any kind of short-term window. Bryce is going to be a little bit worse. Wheeler's going to be a little bit worse. Turner's going to be a little bit worse.
But But Steve, you should not accept that as a fan. And this is a different conversation. there are a lot of organizations in Major League Baseball that continue to regenerate over and over and over again. I remember when the Cardinals lost Pujols, and they kept on winning. And there's so many teams that lose important players and keep on winning, keep on winning, keep on winning. So I know the last time the Phillies were good, we had a core, the core got old, and then we didn't win anything again for more than a decade. That is not how it should be in Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball, will you have a down year here and there? Absolutely. But we should demand that every year they be there. And this core is getting older, which is exactly why we should demand in this offseason not to take this offseason lying down. We should attack this offseason. That's why I keep bringing up Juan Soto, to keep them competitive, because baseball is tough to go into the playoffs and say, this is World Series or bust. The World Series or bust is an organizational commitment to the next 20 years, not this particular offseason.
20 years? I can't even think of that.
Well, yeah, we only got 10 out of you.
Well, let me tell you, Spike, do you think that's how the organization operates? I mean, you think of the Phillies as, you know, one of the better organizations. Do you think that's how they do things regularly? That's
well, I think they are on the precipice of, I appreciate the call, Steve. I think they're on the precipice of being considered one of those organizations. I think the reason...
Oh, we're there.
Well, they've spent a lot of money.
Postseason three straight years?
Sure, but... All I can do is look at the Braves and say, since I was a teenager, the Braves have been competitive.
Sure. I mean, let's say the Braves are the gold standard. Everybody doesn't do what the Braves are doing.
No, but there are other organizations.
Houston has been good.
Houston's been good. Tampa, they're having a down year, but Tampa overall is good. Even the Yankees, I know they haven't won a World Series since 2009, but they've had, what, one under 500 season in the last 30 years, they make the playoffs every single year.
I agree.
That is what we should expect. And putting all your eggs in the basket of one offseason is how we got 10 years of disaster around here.
No, see, that's why I'm okay with what they've done by not selling off future assets.
Sure.
They're trying to make sure they maintain, keep a roster that's going to be good for years to come. That is different than us wanting a World Series this year.
Sure. I agree with that. 215-592-9494. Is this offseason World Series or bust for the Phillies? Coming up next, more Phils. The High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report returns. What Jack can do for us over the next several days is give us some insight into the teams, the Phillies. Well, what was that?
I didn't know where you were going with that. Yeah.
Well, it's called a big dose of D.
Absolutely not, man. Yeah. Which is why his name is in the show. Coming up next, Jack, over the next several days, is going to break down the possible opponents that Phillies could play. We know we pay attention to Phillies. We don't pay a ton of attention to the rest of the National League. So we'll have that. Also, with some good conversation points from Jack as well. I depend on him for that. The High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. So the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Your Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Marks. What is the best show at WIP? The morning show, the midday show, the afternoon show, or John Johnson overnight? So what do you think the percentage is on the afternoon show, Ike, on this Twitter question, as the best show at WIP?
Well,
there's four, remember.
Yeah, it's four. I would imagine the afternoon show is leading the polls. I won't say substantially, but I'll say we're probably pulling in, let me go with 44%.
51%.
Wow, well, more
afternoon
than I
show.
Thought,
and this is a completely unbiased poll.
Correct.
On our Twitter account.
Of course.
Yep. Morning show at 23%. John Johnson overnight at 16%. And Giglio and Hugh at 10%.
Damn.
Yeah, we got to, now that we've banned a camera, I think we got to throw some of our support behind the midday show and get that poll up.
Agreed. Twitter's kind of mean to Joe. Also.
Yes. As I was just saying to Ike during the break, I can't believe I hit Lombardi with the Kelsey thing.
Well,
he backed me into a corner.
Listen, and no one backs Blake into a corner. Yeah. You do it with the Kenny from the Dirty 30 learned that.
Yes.
I learned that 6 years ago. Yes. It's not even worth it. You know, it's tough.
So the question today, is this postseason for the Phillies? I keep saying offseason. Is this postseason for the Phillies, World Series or bust? 2-1, I think it is not. 2-1, obviously, Ike and Jack are on the other side of that. 215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown, you're on WIP. Chris?
He's not ready.
Go back to the midday show, Chris from Middletown. See if he's there, Jack. If he's, I'm going to give him one more chance. He's
there. There he is.
All right, Chris.
What's going on, man?
Jeez, Louise. Hey,
never
what's up,
a
Chris?
Doubt.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, as a proud member of the midday show, you know, today's show has definitely got the best show.
His hole!
Oh, by you guys, okay? I'm very, very disappointed in Mr. Joey D. You know, for a man that admittedly sits on the toilet when he pees, that was kind of a low blow, though, by him.
It was. It was. And it's one thing to start it off with Mark's, but it's the other thing to say that Jack's name shouldn't be on the show.
Right, because when you look up to someone like Joe DeCamera in this business, and he just puts you down like that, it's just disappointing.
Yep.
Nobody puts Jack in a corner.
No.
But, guys, let's get to the topic at hand here, because I want to stick to the rules, Mr. Eskin.
Yep.
You know, listen, this is definitely an all-in red postseason, all right? We're not playing for a participation trophy here, okay? We are playing for the commissioner's trophy, all right? And, Spike, I do have to also take a little offense to something you said yesterday when you were – or Tuesday, I'm sorry, for that matter, when you kept complaining about the players going out and drinking, and you're like, I can't handle that. They shouldn't be doing that. Dude, you're 48 years old with a plastic hip. Don't be comparing yourself to Stubby.
Nah.
Not fair point.
Plastic hip.
First of all, it's ceramic and metal. second of all, most of my reaction or my reaction to that was caused by, and I'm not singling these guys out because there are other people, but Ike and Jack were like, hey, these guys are going to be hung over tomorrow. They're definitely going to lose tomorrow.
That's
and then,
what I was expecting.
Who's the 2008 Phillies guy on Twitter that writes for...
John Foley.
I'm sorry, John. John Foley, who writes for On Patterson Now, posted a picture of the celebration, and he said, put all your money on the Cubs tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's not me, simply me saying that they can't handle the alcohol. It seemed like everyone was just assuming they were punting the next day. And to me, I did not think that was the right way to handle it with the buy in the balance, with the one seed in the balance. I think some people were suggesting that I didn't want them to have fun. I prefaced everything I said with, I think the National League East is a huge accomplishment and worth celebrating. I did not think it was worth punting a game for.
Spike, let me share one last thing with you guys before you got to let me go here.
Uh-huh.
So, and, you know, Ike and Jack already know this as baseballsmen, but you're obviously new to the sport. Let me give you a couple of names in the history of baseball. Babe Ruth, even locally, John Kruk. Baseball players are very, very accustomed to playing hungover.
College players.
They do it a lot. It's like part of the passage of playing the game.
What was the score on Wednesday of Wednesday's game?
That's because we brought Taiwan Walker.
What was the score?
Tuesday they lost 10-4.
Oh, right. What was the score of the game after the celebration?
After they brought Taiwan in.
After the celebration, what was the score of the game? After the score of the celebration, what was the game?
They lost the game when we had a real pitchers in there last night. We easily handled business.
Okay.
So,
and how many runs did they score yesterday?
These athletes are
and how many? They scored four the day
before.
Yes. And these athletes are, and Bryce went yard. So, but listen. Hey, as far as the postseason, though, Spike, don't change. I want you scared. I want you hiding from your shadow because that's when they do best. And I do need you to do something. I need you to start talking about Harper because I need you to hold him accountable.
I will. I will.
That
trust me.
The best in Bryce.
I appreciate that, Chris. Trust me. I know what my role is with Bryce. He does respond every time I hold him accountable.
Yep.
And if I see something worth holding, he
just say he's never going to win a World Series.
He's never going to win a World
Thank
Series.
You.
That's what I'm
Thank
talking
you.
About.
There you go. We're back. This is for you. That was for you. All right.
I won't cut that audio.
Didn't David Wells?
That's not fair.
Either
not
pitch fair. A no-hitter or almost a no-hitter being hungover?
Yeah, yesterday it was almost a no-hitter, yeah.
No, I mean David Wells.
Oh, yeah, David Wells pitched a no-hitter hungover. Yeah.
Now, David Wells is a...
Legendary.
He was probably drunk every game.
That was Chris's point is that these players are used to playing hungover.
Well, then even the guy that threw the no-hitter on LSD... Doc Ellis.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
baseball players are
warriors. Yeah, 75. But the greenies and the baseball players were on drugs for 20 straight years.
Listen, the Huskies won a school record for wins in 2014. We were partying. All right.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you, buddy?
Not great for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, not great for me at all.
All right. So let's learn a little bit about potential opponents right now.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
So we'll get to the first opponent today. A couple things I want to rattle off here as we get set for the postseason. Big Rangers start on Friday. I know people do this thing where Rangers, like, they pretend Rangers not going to have to pitch an important start in the postseason.
Yeah, and just not in the first series.
He is, though. He's probably going to start game four.
Oh, right. You think so?
Yeah, because the way the schedule works, they lose a game or lose a day in the National League. So Wheeler, unless they want to put him on short rest for game four, it's probably going to be Wheeler in game five if it gets to it. So Rangers going to have to start game four of the NLDS.
Yeah, and he hasn't been right for months. I mean, he hasn't been right. We saw the start before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And he didn't look right.
Yeah.
And that's July. And then they give him a month off or 5 weeks off, and he has looked... He's looked the same. He looks worn out.
Yeah, and he's talked about how he needs to get back to trusting his back, which I don't love.
Mm-hmm. No.
So if Wheeler pitches Saturday.
Yeah.
He can't pitch Wednesday?
So he can. It just would be on short rest.
Is that?
It's 3 days
that's
off.
One day off. Yeah. I was going to say, because he doesn't like the 6 days rest either.
No, he doesn't.
So, but we need him on 6 days rest.
So, I guess the decision they have to make, do we want to bring him on short rest to close out a series or maybe save a series? I don't know. But
right.
I think it depends on the situation.
I agree. Yeah. If we're down 2-1.
Wheeler's going to pitch.
Yes, we're screaming.
Yeah, because if you remember 11, I mean, Halliday pitched 1-5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just think it's an interesting thing with Ranger. So, an important start on Friday. And they might treat him as a one-time through the order guy
right.
anyway.
Yeah.
Like, give us 3 innings.
Yeah.
4 innings and then get him out of
and
there.
And then, obviously, Taiwan.
Nah,
you get
hell no.
Well, I mean, if Turnbull, we'll see if he can work his way back in there.
I don't care who's available and who's not available. That dude better not be on a playoff roster,
he's
man.
He's not coming.
Okay.
I put Stubbs in there before I put Taiwan
exactly.
in there.
We'll pour you out.
Yeah. Well. If I could be a change of speed guy. Change of pace.
Hey, Jamie Moore, you got through.
Dude. And Jamie.
Pitches 75 miles per hour.
When Jamie got mad at me, I said, listen, Jamie, I throw harder than you right now. He didn't seem to like that.
Did you say that to him?
Probably did. You know, under his breath. You
under
know,
my
Jack
breath.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's actually a real story. But anyway. never mind. Nolan Wheeler seems like, according to Rob Thompson, they're going to go like 5 innings this weekend. No need to run them into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a nice little bullpen kind of start.
I'm going to wait till you get done to ask you afterwards.
Okay. My big question before we get to the report I have. What's your bigger concern heading into the postseason, the offense or Carlos Estevez? Because Estevez
is
the most Kimbrel of, like, he's not Kimbrel. Kimbrel I didn't trust at all. But, man, he is going to give us heart attacks in October.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if it's in the seventh inning or if it's in the ninth inning. It really doesn't matter. He's going to put us on that roller coaster no matter what.
How big of a lead? It'd be 4 runs.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I'm not comparing him to Taiwan. But because he can strike guys out and Taiwan can't anymore. But when people put the bat on the ball with Estevez, here are the two things to look out for Estevez. First of all, they hit the ball in the air. They hit the ball hard. So you see these gap things. So they hit the ball hard. So if he's not striking people out, he is a problem. And then I know he hasn't walked he hasn't walked guys this year.
Sure.
But historically, his walk rate has been worse than this year. And there's just not enough information this year to know that it changed or anything. He's given up runs every outing. The last three outings, he's given up runs.
It's not great. The thing that worries me is that I think Hoffman's their guy if it's like the heart of the order in the ninth.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Estevez is ahead of like Strom and Kirkering, which is my bigger concern. I think he should be below them.
He's the fourth best reliever.
Of those guys, yes.
Yeah.
So I hope that, again, I think that's what they're going to do in the postseason. I hope it doesn't come back to bite them. The Diamondbacks, real quick, are right now they are the sixth seed.
Yeah. So what we're asking Jack to do is just go through the teams that the Phillies, once a day, go through the teams the Phillies may play and give us sort of the strengths and weaknesses, what we should look out for.
Yeah, so they're 3-3 against the Diamondbacks this year. So I actually might be wrong. No, they're 4-4? They're 4-4 against the Diamondbacks. Either way, .500. So on paper, I think they're better than last year's team.
The Diamondbacks are better than last year.
Yes, and I know that they beat the Phillies and all that good stuff. They already have 88 wins last year. They had 84. The biggest changes is they added Ketel Marte was like the third best player in the National League this year. He's been ridiculous. They also added Jock Peterson. By offensive war, I know you're a huge fan of offensive war.
Mm-hmm.
Second best offense in baseball, according to that. So
they're better than they are last year. We should be more scared than we were last year.
But I don't think the starters are as good.
Okay.
So Merrill Kelly's battling his way back from an injury. Gallen's had a down year compared to his usual years. They signed Eduardo Rodriguez. They signed Jordan Montgomery. Both haven't been very good. So the staff not as good, but bullpen probably better. They traded for a guy named AJ Puck, who was drafted right after Moniak in the 16 draft. He's had a 0.35 ERA since coming over from the Marlins. So he's a big weapon. Justin Martinez throws like 102 miles an hour. He's sick. And they had a couple guys last year who killed the Phillies. So overall, I think they're better than last year and definitely would be a concern in round one.
In your, here's how scared I am of this team. Use whatever word you want instead of scared.
Sure.
From one saying, I'm not worried about this team at all, to 10 being, I'm shaking in my boots. Diamondbacks, where would they be?
Probably about a 7.5.
Okay.
Yeah, at least.
And I think they
at least a 7.5.
And I think they're very confident against the Phillies.
Yes.
Which would worry me.
Well, they should be. But we do have the revenge thing going on, which is, I don't know, something.
Well, and you also have the, we didn't beat them in game 6 and 7.
Yeah, that's what I mean, from a revenge standpoint.
No, I mean from the other way to where it works negative against you.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's there.
Yeah.
Here's what I wanted to throw to you guys, because I know it's the discussion about the whole, should they be going for the number one seed and this and that. Sounds like you just said Rob Thompson is going to manage the games to keep guys fresh, but he's not necessarily going to go above and beyond to try to win every game from that standpoint.
I think they're choosing fresh over wins.
Yes, and I agree with that.
The tough part is the Dodgers are fighting for their division lives.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to play guys. They're only 2 games up on the Padres.
Yeah.
Or it might be 3 after they won last night. But the Dodgers kind of got to take this down to the wire.
And if you're topper, you can't worry about that stuff. This what you can't control is how do you get your guys ready the best you can for them next week? Because the whole idea of avoiding this matchup or wanting that matchup,
you don't even know who's going to be where.
It never works out in your favor anyway. No. I guarantee you, we all wanted the Diamondbacks last year, and now we don't want them this year.
And the big difference that's happened is it looked like it was going to be Diamondbacks, Padres 4-5. Now the Diamondbacks are the 6th seed. So they could miss the postseason. The Braves are only 1 behind them.
Oh, the Diamondbacks should actually miss the postseason.
They could, yeah. They're the 6th seed right now. So they would be playing the Brewers or the 3 seed. So you might end up playing the Diamondbacks regardless.
Yeah, Diamondbacks, Mets, Braves are all sit in there and that anybody could jump in.
That's why Monday's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, Monday's going to be doubleheader. Exciting. Here's what's weird to me about Topper managing the starters this weekend that way, mm-hmm. is that you have a week off afterwards. I know you, Ike, you said you don't care about the one seed.
I don't mind getting it.
Yeah.
It's not one of these things like we got to have home field advantage all the way through. Like I don't feel that way.
It's just such a significant advantage with this specific home field.
Until it's not.
Sure. It doesn't mean they can't lose at home. They, mm-hmm. they've proved they can lose. Proven they can lose it at home. Lose at home. I think more than anything. Well, I mean, this is what home field means. Is not just having more games at home. It's having the first two and the last one at home.
Sure.
The first two and the last two at home. And they go 2-3-2 in baseball, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't go 2-2-1-1.
2-3-2. Yep.
2-3-2. So I just think if it's there, now is not the time to pull Nola after five innings rather than going
right.
six or seven innings with a week off afterwards.
Sure.
If anything, during that week, you're going to want to get those guys a little bit of work so they don't go into the playoffs completely flat the way that some teams
will. They'll throw bullpens next week.
So here's what I think he's going to wind up doing. He leaves himself a little wiggle room just for what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how the games play out tonight, how they play out tomorrow, he goes into Saturday and Sunday. Then he has the opportunity to see, oh, we're only a game behind. Oh, we're tied. Now I can let him go six or seven innings.
Right.
But it's not one of these things where he's saying to himself, oh, no, we're going for this thing no matter what.
Yeah.
I think he gets to the weekend and sees how the standings look, and then he has that little wiggle room to say, we can pull him.
Yeah.
Because the guys that are hitting, they're going to go up there to try to hit.
Sure.
It's really about the pitching and how Topper decides he wants to use his starters in his bullpen.
Yeah, the hitters want to be out there.
The hitters, of course, they want to go hit.
Maybe give JT an extra day off. Maybe that's something that happens. Mm-hmm. Well, he probably doesn't play Sunday.
Are these any day games?
Sunday's got to be
Sunday
a day game.
Sunday should be a day
Sunday's
game.
Sunday's a day game, yeah. So he probably doesn't play Sunday, yeah.
And that I keep saying that
Well, it also could depend on Friday night with the rain. So, like,
we may get rain.
There's a hurricane.
Here.
So they're playing in Washington.
D.C., which is right
which
on the coast.
Same, yeah. Yes,
south and east of us.
So. Could have the old doubleheader.
Yeah. Well,
ooh.
Speaking of doubleheaders, I keep saying this. I hope the way this weekend works out that Monday doubleheader with the Braves and the Mets is both games are meaningful. Oh, it'd be so exciting.
Yeah.
It'd be so exciting. It'd be something to watch. Okay. Well, we have and then we have nothing for a week with the Phils.
I know.
I guess we just watch everybody else, right?
That's right.
Well, next
Thursday, are we allowed to talk about that? I'm sure. Next Thursday, we'll be at Chickies. All the shows will. Chickies mm-hmm. South Philly, sort of a Philly celebration day. So we'll plan fun stuff. So Phillies, get ready because the first playoff game will be Saturday at Citizens Bank Park. So Thursday, we'll be at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, our home away from home. I'm telling you guys this. I'm eating two things of crab fries on Thursday.
Wow. Ooh, don't get too crazy.
Already thinking about the crab fries.
I like you guys were like, don't worry. The crab fries, you'll be here every week. You get a little less. I still get fired up for the crab fries.
Yes. And we did not say you wouldn't be fired up
no
for
one
the crab
said that.
Fries. No one has ever said
oh,
that.
Oh, really?
No.
No, I was lying. Well, I'm
per usual.
I'm
crab fries
are the best.
Yeah, well, I love them, man. There's my little treat. I plan my eating around
right.
the crab fries.
You're like, yeah, I'm getting crab fries today.
Yep, I skip. You know, I eat my oatmeal every day around 11:30 noon. I skip the oatmeal.
Everyone knows that.
What are you, 50, 60?
I love the oatmeal. My little oatmeal with the bananas.
I forgot I was 50. I don't even eat oatmeal.
Oh, no.
What are you, 70?
Every day, man. Every day keeps me going. That's how I have so much energy during this show.
Yeah.
All right.
Save some for later.
Yeah. Trust me, I don't need that much energy. That's on me. Coming up next is everyone's favorite portion of the WIP Afternoon Show, is the Top 5 at 5. Jack, what do we have to look forward to?
You'll like this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to come at me again?
No. It's a counterbalance to the Eagles Insider of the Year.
Oh. I like that. And we have a full show tonight because there is no we don't have leading off tonight, right?
Well,
there's no Phillies game. Yeah. So we have a full show today. So we will continue with our big question. Is this Phillies postseason a World Series or bust postseason? 215-592-9494. The Top 5 at 5 is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.